Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Did he say I've got 4 hours?
Yeah.
Okay, praise God. Okay. Is that all, yeah? It has happened. I just want to carry on with the book of Ephesians. Turn to chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. What a good God we serve. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says this in verse 1, "And to you, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we all too formerly lived with the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." I want to try and get through this chapter, all of it today. You, Paul's talking to the church, talking to us. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Verse 2, you formerly walked according to the ways of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit which now works in the sons of the flesh of men and women. Basically, that's what he's saying. And so, today we read in the Word, it tells us that Satan is seeking and desires and plans to be the God of this world. He's a power seeker.
He is.
Power seeker. But every power seeker, always to gain the power, usually causes injury, hurt and wounding and death to others. We know that through our history. As we look back, we've seen that men who seek power to control, we look at the world wars, we look at wars, these men seeking power to get that power, they inflicted much pain, much death. Satan's no different.
No different.
No. It's power seeking, seeks to continually blind the minds of men and women, to bring mankind to a place of an unbelieving individual. And in it, he desires that you would, instead of listening to God and listening to the basic law of God, and that wonderful scripture that Jesus gave to us and said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." You see, if you love somebody, you're not going to kill them, are you? If you love somebody, you're not going to starve them, are you? If you love somebody, you're not going to torture them, are you? No. Hallelujah. God loves you.
Amen.
Those three words up there are not just something we plucked out the air and said, "Oh, I'll make those and stick them on the wall." They come straight out of the Word of God.
Yeah.
God is love.
Yeah.
Praise him. Hallelujah. And so God has a love for humanity. God has a love, in fact, for all of creation. And Jesus died for all of creation. That everything that God has made, and in Genesis it says was very good. So everything that he has made, he will redeem back to himself through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the plan. That is the agenda. And that will come to its fullness and completion. Just reminding me that soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. And we are. How soon is soon? I don't know. But it's sooner than it was last week.
Yeah.
It is nearer than what it was last year. Much nearer. We need to be a people who are ready. And so we need to put to death sin in our lives.
Yeah.
We need to put to death the things that would separate us from God. You see, Jesus did not create you to be children of disobedience. He says in verse 3, among them we too were formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. In other words, we were lustful. We were lusting after the things of the flesh. We were being controlled by our minds. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you can be sat there and all of a sudden a thought comes into your mind and it's an ungodly thought and you think, where did that come from? No? Oh, must be the only one by the look of it. And you think, whoa. And the Bible tells us, take captive every thought. It's not a sin to think it, but it is to do it. That's the difference. So don't get condemned about the thoughts. Take the thoughts captive and condemn the thought.
Yeah.
Right? Don't let it condemn you.
No.
You condemn it.
Amen.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
You bring judgment on that thought. Don't let the thought bring judgment on you.
No.
That's what we've done historically. Oh, I've had these awful thoughts. You know, God don't love me anymore. God can't really be want to be have anything to do with me. You what? He sent his son.
Yeah.
He paid the price for your thoughts.
He did.
It says he sweat drops of blood. That was for your thoughts.
It was. Yes.
Yeah. Better try and stick to the notes. And I'm not doing very well. You know that 4 hours you said, or somebody said, I might be on it. Hallelujah. But God sent his son. We were children of disobedience. We were rebellious. You know, it's so easy for a child to be disobedient and rebellious. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
You don't teach them to do it, they just do it, you know. All of creation, in fact, does it. My dog does it. And one has to put in the ground rules with love. And as you put that into a person's life, they know that it's there for their protection, for their covering, that they might not sin. And that we might be drawn closer to him. Verse 4 says, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead.
Yeah.
You were dead.
Yeah.
Glory to God. You were dead. We were dead, it says.
Yeah.
In our trespasses.
Yeah.
in our transgressions, in our sins. But he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And that's not my wife, by the way, but by God's grace have you been saved. It is by his great love. It is the fact that we have been, through Christ, we have been made alive.
Amen.
If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, today you are dead in trespasses and sins. That's where you are. But there is hope for you. There is a life resuscitator available to you.
Yeah.
And that's Jesus.
Amen.
There's a spiritual defibrillator available to you.
There is.
Uh-huh. And it's already charged in the spirit. And God wants to just put his hands on you and impact you and bring you back into life in Christ Jesus. Amen? The influx, the empowering of the Spirit quickens this mortal body and gives it life. Hallelujah. I'm quickened. Are you quickened?
Amen.
If you're not, today is your day to be quickened.
Yeah.
Today is your day. Jesus is calling your name. Today is your day. He wants to touch you. He wants to quicken you. He wants to shake the death clothes off you and give you clothes of life.
Amen.
That's what he wants to do. Do you know why? Because he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God that is reaching out to you. Verse 6, he says, and raised up him, Christ Jesus, and seated us with him in heavenly places. So he's raised us up. When he quickens us, when he gets that spiritual defibrillator on you, he quickens you. He brings you into life. So that you are raised up and then we are seated together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places.
Wow.
Oh, hallelujah.
Wow, wow, wow.
Paul knew all about this. He seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ. We might not be physically there yet, but in the Spirit, we're there. Amen. We're there. Wow. I'm letting you think on that for a minute because you've probably never thought that thought fully. I'm already there. Wow. God sees you in his presence. God has drawn you into his presence. God, in his mercy and great love towards us, sent Jesus into the world to come and pay the price for our sin and to take my punishment, your punishment, that we might be free to enter into his holy presence.
Wow.
That's what God's done for us. Entering into that holy presence is what God wants for us. Verse 6, it says, he's raised us up together. He seated us together with him in heavenly places. You see, Christ came to bring back a unity of all things. Because in the beginning, all things were in unity. All things were good. In fact, it was very good. And God's intention is what he started in the beginning, he will finish at the end. Because God's program will not be destroyed. God's program will be not knocked off the rails. What God started, God will finish. I know this for a fact, that God is a finisher. He's a finisher. You know, some people start things, don't they? And then they get part way through and they get fed up with it. Think, oh, can't be bothered. I've had enough. I'll start something else. Do you know anybody like that?
Yeah.
Do you? You're not looking at me, are you, when you say that? Oh, that's good. And praise God for that, you know. But yeah, and God wants you to be like him, a finisher.
Yeah.
God has got things for you to do, and God has got things for you to do and finish. Say this after me. I am a finisher.
I am a finisher.
And again.
I am a finisher.
Amen. I am a finisher. God is going to enable us to be those finishers that do the things that others have never done before. And all of this is embraced in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus was on that cross, what did he say? It is
finished.
So if we are going to be finishers, then we are just like Christ. Because he was a finisher.
He was.
Amen. The work is done.
Yeah.
I am redeemed.
I am
set free.
I am
no more in condemnation. Come on, say that. I am no more in condemnation. It's so easy to let things condemn you. We have a mindset that is condemning. We're brought up under condemnation so often. Some of us have been in churches where if you didn't wear the right hat, you were condemned. Oh, we had that experience. My God, honestly. Yeah, you had to have a tie on as well. No tie today. I'll borrow David's, shall I? There is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Make sure you remember that. Because the devil will come along and try and seek to condemn you. Oh, you did this the other day. You thought that the other day. You said this the other day. And we do say things and not necessarily mean them. And, you know, I'm not perfect yet. But I'm on the road of perfection. And that's the thing. That's the important thing. Are you on the road of God's perfection? That's right. Work in progress. And she is. Yeah, praise God. I'll confirm that. Hallelujah. We work in progress. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? God does not suddenly expect you right now to be, poof, that's it. Everything sorted. He knows our weaknesses. Hallelujah. But he's made provision for us through the blood of Jesus, through this word that washes us. And as we spend time in this word of God, it washes us and cleanses from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. You know, there are two kingdoms that are warring for our attention. There's a kingdom that is an uncreated kingdom. And this uncreated kingdom is God's kingdom. It was never created.
No.
It was and is and is evermore there.
Yeah.
See, the devil is seeking to create a kingdom for himself to rule over. But you see, the heavenly realm rules supreme. The devil is only the god of this air.
Yeah.
He's this, you know, he's yet, believe it or not, he does not have a foothold on the earth. The Bible does not say the devil has a foothold on the earth. He says he is the prince of the air. He wants a foothold on the earth. He wants to claim earth for his own. He's trying to use what he took from Adam as his right to take the earth. But there is a legal dispute going on right now because of the blood of Jesus. Because he has redeemed all things back to God. The earth belongs to the Lord and everything that is within it. So there is this dispute going on. And he's got his legal team. But we have Jesus. Indisputable. And he has paid the price for Adam's failure. He's paid the price for all of the Adams that are living now. So that the devil has no right to the things of this earth. You and me. When we come to Jesus, the devil has no right. He has no call upon your life.
Amen.
He can't turn around and say, well, I remember Dharma when he was doing this, this and this, so he's still mine. No, because of the blood.
Amen.
Because of the blood. Because of that sacrifice of Jesus. He's now in Christ. And that which the devil has sought to stole, takes away from God, God is redeeming back. Bought with the price of that precious blood. The kingdom of God is an eternal kingdom.
Amen.
It has no beginning and it has no end.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is no beginning of God, there's no end of God. And so, but you see, the devil started to try and rule and reign. He started a kingdom, but guess what? His kingdom will come to an end.
Amen. Yeah.
Before it even gets fully established. He has no power. He has no authority. Jesus said in Matthew 16, I give to who? Us. You. All power. And all authority. In whose name? Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives to you all the authority. And we need to learn to use it. We need to stand upon it. We need to push back where the enemy seeks to make ground. We say, this is not your land. This is not your province. This is not the place for you. There is a place destined for you. It's called hell.
Yeah.
The eternal kingdom shall reign, rule, and set everybody free.
Yeah.
Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Hallelujah. Not as a result of works that no one should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're saved by the unity of grace and faith that is joined together. Grace has always existed. It's another uncreated presence of God. It's part of that infinite presence of God.
Wow.
Always there. His grace reaches towards us. His mercy reaches towards us. Whereas our faith is limited, but it can grow.
Amen.
It can grow. Jesus said, "O ye of little faith," did he not?
Yeah.
But he encouraged them that their faith would grow.
Yeah.
Let's cause our faith by spending time in the Word, listening to the Word of God, and praying through and seeing God do miracles in our faith will grow. Good works flow out of authentic faith.
Yeah.
Good works flow out of authentic faith. Works can't earn us the pure treasure of salvation. It can't earn us the pure gift of God. But those who receive this gift do good. Good flows from them.
Yeah.
You see, this scripture says, it says that we are, He says, through faith and not of yourselves, it is a gift of good, God. Not as results of work that none should boast. For we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. You are not saved by good works.
No.
We are saved for good works.
We are.
There's a big difference.
We
are. You know, people think, well, I always do good. I've never done anybody any harm, you know. I should be saved. I should be able to go into the kingdom. No. That's where you get it wrong. Because some people don't have the ability to do the same level of good works as others. Right? So why should they get a better seat than me and you? Huh? But you see, no. We are saved for good works.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, God has already got good works lined up for you by faith for you to walk into.
Yes. Yeah,
did you get that? I can see you thinking. I'll say that again. God has got good works for you already to walk into. You got it? You okay with it? I'm glad. Praise his wonderful name. We're not trying to do good works. The good works are already there for us to walk into. It's like, it's not, oh, I've got to do this and I've got to. No. Just take hold of the hand of Jesus and it happens. Praise God. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Wow. The Gentiles. There was a big hatred that was going on between Jew and Gentile. We were the unclean. We were the unworthy, the ungodly. We were worthless, according to them. We were just fit to be thrown on one side and trod underfoot. Brings great animosity. Brings wars, brings divisions. It goes on to say that we were formerly uncircumcised. Remember that you at times you were separated. You were strangers to the covenant of promise. One, we were separated. Two, we were excluded. Three, we were strangers. Four, we had no hope. Five, we were without God. That was the state as Gentiles that we lived in. No hope. We were the no-hopers. We were separated. We were outcasts. We were excluded. We were strangers. But verse 13 comes in. Thank God for number 13.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you're superstitious, just remember chapter 2, verse 13 of Ephesians. Glory to God, this will help you. But now,
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, you who formerly were afar off have been brought near
Amen.
By the blood of Christ. Thank God for number 13. Hallelujah. Get rid of these superstitions. We were drawn to God. You know, sometimes I think some of these numbers, God put them in on a purpose. You know, just to let you know that, hey, don't be so superstitious. You know, all these silly things. Don't give it power. God says that, but now in Christ, you were formerly afar off, but have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. For he himself is our peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. If you don't have peace, you need to get to Jesus because he is our peace. Who made both groups into one. So, you know, we've been talking about the Gentiles and the Jews. Now through Christ Jesus, there's only one. There's only one.
Amen.
Just remember, by the way, Abraham was not a Jew.
No.
I love that one. Abraham's our father. He weren't a Jew, by the way. He was a Gentile. I'll leave you to it. I'll just throw that one out. You can chew on that one for a while. Spit it out. We'll do what you want with it. But that's what the book says. He came from Ur of the Chaldees. And yet he's classed as the Jews' father. Praise God. It's all done away with.
Amen.
It's finished.
Thank you, God.
We're already one.
Yeah.
We're together in Christ. There's no Greek, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's nothing, there's no black, no white, no red, no yellow.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing like that. There's no male, there's no female.
No.
We're one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
That's what it's about. Don't get on your heart. You know, all these, you know, and Black Lives Matter. Excuse me. Every life matters.
Amen.
Don't it?
Yeah.
Every life matters. If I cut him, he bleeds red blood. If he cuts me, I bleed red blood. Every life matters. And if you would put Jesus in the center of all of this, you don't see black, white, yellow,
no.
Red, whatever, green, blue. You don't see any of that. We're made in the image of God.
Amen. Woo.
Spirit man.
Amen.
Spirit man. Made in the image of God. We are brought into the kingdom of God. And by being brought into the kingdom of God, we are brought into the almighty presence of God himself.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what it is for you and for me. We are brought to the very presence of God Almighty. Wow. Nothing separates us. In the Old Testament, when the temple was built, there was a curtain, wasn't there? And when Jesus died on that cross, it says that when he died, he says, God tore that curtain. God tore it, top to bottom, 4 inches thick. No man could tear that. But God himself, through the blood of Christ, tore it and made a way through.